Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our guest is Fringe. Fringe was on our show in the recent past. Fringe and I had a lot of things to discuss, alien-related, experiential, and I'd like to delve into some of the MyLab type stuff too. So, without any further ado, Fringe, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
The reason I wanted you back so soon, and thank you for coming back on such short notice, Fringe. The ET experience is where the rubber meets the road. And with so many people looking for information alien related these days, now that there's not such a social stigma attached to it, the laughter curtain descending and the giggle factor, what have you, it's more acceptable to talk about these issues in polite company. People are going to start looking for information. So I thought it would be a good idea at this time to raise the bar. Let's let these people, let's give them a data dump, as much as they can handle of what the actual alien encounter experience is like, and also delving into issues such as alien training, learning their language, their symbol language, and flying their craft, etc. And I can think of no better person to have than you, friend. So what would you like to share, or what are some of the points you want to make in that regard?
Oh, well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. I know you asked me about some of the trainings. Now, are you speaking about flying the ships, or because I did go through this morning and I just wrote a bunch of the information that I get.
Yes, that would be great as far as flying the ships and going into details as much as you feel comfortable with about that particular aspect of the training.
In flying the ships, I've been in few different types of ships, and then the ships I've flown or learned to fly. And honestly, I don't remember the learning part of it. I just remember actually doing it. And so I don't remember any of the instruction or any of the training. I just wake up and find myself actually being in the environment. And just to be clear from last time, what's happening to me is I'm actually waking up over there and I'm not necessarily getting a full hour of information. I'm waking up, I'm realizing what's going on. A lot of times I'm causing a problem and, they kind of put me back to sleep. So I'm getting snippets of information. This isn't full 5 hour experience of information that I'm getting. I'm getting snippets of information. And so the very first one that I was flying was a round saucer type ship. I was standing behind a console with beings, maybe four beings sitting in front of me, and I was able to look outside as if there was some transparency in the ship, almost like they were windows. I don't know if there were actually windows in the ship or not. That's just my perception of what I was seeing. The way I try to explain it is if anyone has been out of body and understands what's required to navigate the astral realm, there is some willpower and some intention that you need to harness in order to do what you want to do in the astral realm. So say you want to fly, or say you want to produce a knife and kill a demon, or the astral realm is anything can happen, anything goes, right? And so it's that same type of will and intention that's needed to actually fly the ship. So it's a telepathic communication. The ships themselves have some type of sentience to them. They're able to respond to that. I actually saw an interview or a video with Farsight, the remote viewers, the farsight.com, I think. And they explained it really, really well. And it just kind of clicked for me when they explained it. It's very similar to having a horse who is a sentient being and can make its own decisions, and a rider. So the rider is directing the horse, but the horse can actually make its own moves and actually defy the rider in some cases and make its own moves and maybe not go the way the rider would like. Now, I think the ships, they can take over if there's a safety issue, if there's a maneuver that has to be made that the driver has not anticipated. There is a sentience to them. They can respond. They respond to completely to telepathy. I have heard other people now. So all of this happened before I even knew that other people were flying ships. But I've now heard of other people flying ships and they have to put their hand into some type of mold or something. I don't have any memories of that whatsoever. It was just a pure telepathic communication. Will and intention to make it happen. I have a very, very vague recollection of flying a triangle ship, but I don't have any memories of it. I just actually wrote it down. I just flew the triangle ship. I don't have any memories of that. I flew a black Tinker Toy looking type helicopter type instrument. I don't honestly even know what it was, but it was a black Tinker Toy helicopter, is how I explain it. This was the only craft I've been in that actually required a connection to the craft. So I had to put my hand on almost a joystick type apparatus, and that was just a touch connection. I had to touch that apparatus, but it didn't do anything. And then I had to, again, use will and intention. And there was actually an instructor sitting right behind me in this craft. It was just a two-person craft. It was very small. I was with other similar craft and other instructors and students, it appeared. And I had to dock at, for lack of a better term, a mothership on this black helicopter craft. And then I have flown these white, I call it a personal hovercraft. I don't know what they are. And they kind of maybe are shaped like a motorcycle, but there's no wheels or anything. It's just a very white, like a prefab looking metal material. And it's the same type of thing. There's no joystick or no touch control or anything. It's just completely telepathic. And again, it just requires the will and intention. And sometimes I play the game and sometimes I don't. It depends on my level of consciousness. If I wake up and realize, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be doing A, B, or C, a lot of times I'll just be defiant and I won't even do what they're telling me to do. So there was this one instance where I was on the white hovercraft and I knew I had to stop at a certain line. And I thought, okay, I'm not doing that. And I just went right past the line. I just kind of glided past it in kind of just a cocky type, yeah, I'm not stopping here type attitude. And actually, the handler for that ended up just laughing at me, kind of chuckling at me like a parent. So those are my experiences with flying the craft. I've heard other people say different things. Like I mentioned, you know, some people talk about this hand mold or helmet or some kind of nonsense. I don't have any memories of anything like that at all. Just straight telepathic control of the ships. They definitely have some sentience to them. I have been placed into a craft that was completely sentient. It was giving me that vibe that it actually, and it's gonna sound nuts, but I'm on your show, right, James? It was giving me the vibe that it wanted to kill me. So it had a malevolence to it. And I was actually inside of it going, okay, well, I'm going, because a lot of times I'm pretty defiant in this environment. And in this case, I was not, because this was a machine, but it was a sentient machine that had the ability to kill me. But I also knew that it did not have the authorization to kill me. But at the same time, I was just sitting in it going, okay, well, let's just hope I get to wherever I'm supposed to be going right now, because I'm not going to mess with this thing. Maybe just because it was a machine, it was actually more frightening than some of the creatures. That pretty much sums that up, unless you have any questions on that part of it.
The sentient thing is key. I've heard that from other people. Also, I've heard an interesting aspect to that as well, that some of these craft are not only sentient, but one of the security measures is that they only respond to certain species of beings, commands, and particularly the DNA of certain species and their offshoots, their hybrid human offshoots. So I've heard of my labs as young children being brought before a certain craft and brought inside, and the craft seemed to recognize them. Things activated, things turned on. Whereas before, the military and the scientists, what have you, were having no luck with a particular craft or piece of technology. They bring forth an individual. An example I'm thinking about was a young girl. And she goes in there, she's led in there by her handlers, and the thing activates. Basically, it recognizes her as one of those that are authorized to be on it and to operate it. And in the more advanced societies, definitely there is this, lack of a better term, AI interface. You mentioned the analogy with a horse. That's a very apt analogy. And I also think about guide dogs for the vision impaired. If the person walking them wants to make an unsafe move, like walk into a busy street, the dog will not do it. The dog will not respond. It's a dangerous, illogical move. And definitely, I could see how these craft have that ability. And there seems to be different reports of different kinds of interface. What you've described has also been described by others, people that were insiders in some of these aerospace underground labs and what have you. They talk about this cybernetic link between the minds of the pilots of these craft and the technology itself, where they don't have to make a physical manual move, press any buttons, what have you. They just basically think. And when you look at some of these beings, you look at their cranium size of their brains, the ability for them to essentially morph reality or affect changes in reality with the power of the brain, the power of the mind alone, just looking at the craniums and the size of the brains of some of these beings, I could see how that can happen. The times that they've spoken to me telepathically, it was like absolutely clear in my mind exactly what they were saying. And they were using colloquial English on me at times. They weren't just talking in a very stiff, formal, robotic way. They were speaking to me in a way in which I would understand and put me at ease, was the idea. And I've also heard of people having to use joysticks, also like a crystal, lack of a better term, a crystal matrix setup where there's one or more crystals on a control system, and somehow they have to use a combination of mind power and their hands in order to activate the device or to navigate the craft. So what you've described has been described before others. And also, I think it's germane to the subject. I knew this guy who, for a while, well, he's probably not with us on this side of the veil any longer, because he was an older guy when I knew him, an old submariner from the Korean War days, but he was also a remote viewer for the government, for the deep black government. And in the early 1970s, he was sent out to Groom Lake because they were testing this device. The movie that came out later, the Fire Fox movie with Clint Eastwood, bears a lot of similarity with what he was talking about. He said that they developed this helmet that created a cybernetic link between the navigation system and the avionics control system of an advanced airplane, so the pilot wouldn't have to maneuver the airplane or the craft manually with controls and what have you. He was only supposed to think it, right? So this is the early 1970s, and they had a problem with this because a lot of these test pilots were tanking it. They would just go into a nosedive and crash their plane. So they flew this guy out to Groom Lake, and he talked to some of the pilots to see what was going on. Like I said, he was a very gifted psychic and remote viewer. I had it with me in some of the old reptilian investigations back in the day. Anyway, he came back to the controllers there at Groom Lake, and he said, "Here's your problem. You're not taking into account, rather, the lives, the personal lives of these pilots. They have wives, they have families. They're in a secluded desert base, and then they're lonely and they're bored, and they have all these preoccupations and stresses. You're not taking that into account, because when they go up in these planes and they have that helmet attached to their head, it's difficult sometimes for them to focus. And you were talking about the power of intention and will. And in the astral plane, I've had problems where I wanted to do certain things, right? But I couldn't, right? For whatever reason, okay? But also, there are times in the astral plane when it's quite effortless, where you just think something and it's done, it manifests. This kind of thing was happening to those pilots out of Groom Lake, and they kept nosediving into the test range there. And my friend said, "You have to remember, these are people, they have families, they have stress. You have to factor that into the program." And then years later, this Fire Fox movie comes out where Clint Eastwood is tasked with sneaking onto a secret Soviet air base and making off with a plane, Fire Fox, that operates on thought control only. So they were dropping some seeds and hints about that. But yes, I've heard that people in these craft, test flying them or training in them, can use a joystick type device. They can use a crystal thing device. And also, some of the footage that came out of, and I have no reason to doubt it, I've had Colin Wolford on the show in the recent past talking about the alien autopsy video. And one of the items that was filmed, not really a video, but an old film, was this rectangular control panel that had, you've probably seen the film, that have the impressions, the handprints of these beings. That they can put their hands on this, it would be shaped like a long keyboard to us, but there was only like handprints and finger points where the beings would put their hands and their fingers, and this somehow created an interface. So the way it was described to me, and the way that the Roswell, he wasn't a Roswell, it was before Roswell, Kammerman described it, was the army came along, and one of the beings that were outside of the crashed craft was holding on tightly to one of these rectangular devices, and then the soldiers were ordered take that thing away from him at all costs. So they basically bashed the skull in of the ET with the butt of a rifle and then took possession of that tangular thing. So I only bring it up because, again, that's an example of this interface between the hands of these crew members. And perhaps it's kind of what we would liken to a laptop or an iPad or more. So that's something to do directly with the operation of the ship. And a quick comment about what Pam Hamilton told me years ago. She said that as a young girl, she began to be taught how to fly certain craft. And if memory serves, she was taught how to fly more than one. And she told me that there was a certain type of craft where if they landed in her front yard in early in the morning, she can get out of bed, go into the craft, know exactly where to go, sit down, and fly off with this thing. It's all very subconscious, but she's been trained in it so many times. She was trained by Nordics, but she was also trained by this reptilian race. She described them, and I've heard of this particular reptilian race or one of these reptilian races. They're shorter in stature, slighter of build, but they're very spiteful and they're very malevolent. And she said that when she was being trained by them to fly their particular craft, when she was too slow in catching on how to do certain things, they would just give her an earful, basically telepathically, and just kind of browbeat her the way that a drill sergeant would at boot camp. But anyhow, I just thought that I'd throw that in.
Yeah, I mean, you know more about this than I do, James. I'm just kind of new popping on to UFO Twitter in about March or April of this year. And that's when my mind was just blown when I realized other people are flying ships. You know, all the things that I had come to my conclusions and I knew what was happening and had written everything down and, you know, all of this stuff, I didn't know that this was happening to other people. And then when I got onto UFO Twitter, I just started seeing other people are talking about ships. Other people are talking about, you know, having their consciousness transferred out of their body. And pretty much every single thing that had happened to me, which is like a movie because it seems like way too many things, I was able to see, oh, wow, this is happening to other people. People know about this. There's a history. There's research. There's so many other people saying this. And that was so beneficial for me to go, oh my gosh, look at all these other people saying this exact very same thing. Now, that's not proof to anyone else, but for me, it was very validating to say, oh wow, okay, this is happening. It's happening to a lot of people. You know, a lot of people saying the same thing all across the world, all across time. For decades, people have been saying the same thing. So that was very helpful. And I guarantee you know more about any of these topics than I do because I just have my little glimpse of, you know, what's going on. I have no memory of being trained on any of these crap. Now, did that happen to me when I was younger? Perhaps. I don't know. I mean, obviously, at some point, I was probably trained on it, but I don't have any memories of that.
Did you have any memories of seeing an alien symbol language? The daughter of Betty Andreessen, the late Betty Andreessen, her daughter Becky was on board of either a ship or at some ET installation somewhere, and she was stood before, and she would have been in her early 20s back then, if memory serves, and she was standing before this kind of what we would regard as a computer console of some sort, and these alien symbols would come across the screen, and there was some kind of means for her to interface with this data management system, for lack of a better term. So she was able to work on it because at some subconscious level, she was previously trained on this. Have you ever seen or experienced anything similar to that?
So the only thing I've experienced similar to that is I get a lot of what people call downloads. And so during the downloads, I will get a geometric shape of symbol. So during a download, it's usually when I've gone to bed, and it's usually in the beginning of the night. And I call it that mind awake, body asleep type thing where my mind is actually awake. And I call it a concept pod of information. It usually comes with a geometric shape and then the concept of what it is that I'm learning. And unfortunately, and I've actually talked to Tom at Montauk.net about this process and why this happens, but what will happen is during the download, I'm actually laying there going, okay, this makes so much sense. I totally get it. Oh my gosh, it's like mind blown moment of this all making so much sense. And how come I didn't think of this by myself or what have you? But then what will happen is almost like the astral body then maybe slightly separated and then it clicks right back in. And Tom says that when the astral body clicks right back in and then your brain actually takes over, that's when the information, I kid you not, the information just disappears. And so what I will be left with is a geometric shape. And I actually have some of these shapes written down, or these are copies. You're not going to really be able to see it, but it's just a lot of triangles, circles, and dots. And these are redrawn from my journal. So I'll get the geometric shape and then the concept of what it is. And then I can write down the concept and the shape as near as I remember it, but the details of it, they're just gone. Are these things going to just click into my head someday? Because I do, like everybody else, you get an epiphany, right? You're just walking along, mind your own business, boom, all of a sudden you know how to solve the problems of the entire world. Those things happen. So is that coming from the downloads or not? I don't know. But I did write down some of the concepts that I'm learning during these downloads, and it's kind of interesting. One of the downloads I got was that the aliens and the ships are recycling souls, which had never even dawned on me at that point. I've learned about energy transferring, manifesting and affecting reality, jumping through portals, the Christ energy and frequency, how to neutralize and escape the matrix, which actually came to me as an energy dome, how it all works, DNA, how to win, how they take us, the integration of the whole self. And then one of them was that there's two things hidden behind a veil that I need to figure out for myself. Another one was transferring consciousness. I don't know if I covered that one yet. So I get all of these downloads, and presumably this information is somewhere in my brain or somewhere in my being. I don't know where it goes because I can't remember any of it. So I don't know if that's something that you've come across. I think I've heard other people talk about how the trainings or the information that we get, it just disappears. And I've read in the research, although I can't say this for myself, that people have been told that that information will be coming forward at the appropriate time. Now, I don't know if you've heard anything like that before.
Yes, I have. At some point, we have to take them at face value, or we have to take it with a dose of salt, right? Because these ETs and other beings, they're not obliged to tell us the truth. And so many times in the past, a lot of their predictions, so-called, they didn't come to pass. But I do believe that there's a grain of truth with the notion that at some point, some of this information will come into our conscious awareness. And I think it will most likely start to manifest in people's conscious awareness in the run-up to, lack of a better term, from a revelations perspective, the end times, as we get closer and closer to this period when this apocalyptic revealing will be going on all around us. It's already underway. A lot of these epiphanies will start to manifest. I really do believe that. Now, the issue of the consciousness transference, and that delves into issues of soul transference, soul acquisition. One of the things that they were working on at Section D, the Dulce base, according to Thomas Costello, who escaped and later on they tracked him down. Unfortunately, he was a RAND security specialist there. He said, and we've heard similar things from other secret locations, that they're studying the energetic ectoplasmic aspect of the human soul. Of consciousness. They've been working on transference. And what we've seen in some of these underground facilities, some personal friends of mine I know very well have described this to me. I have no reason to believe that they're confabulating or that they've been programmed to say these things. I believe that what they're telling me is the truth. On one occasion, well, more than one occasion, but a friend told me that when she was in these underground bases, in particular one underground base that I was taken to on a number of occasions in the high desert of Southern California, she said that her consciousness, as she's standing there amidst these military people, her consciousness was taken out of her physical body, and some dark shadow being, which she could perceive, was put into her body and then was sent off, presumably to go do something somewhere. And I've heard of cases where an alien consciousness, lack of a better term, would be put into a vacated human hybrid body And then likewise, that body, that person will be sent off on some mission somewhere, sent through a Stargate, whatever the case may be, but they will have an alien consciousness. And I've heard of cases where, for infiltration purposes, an alien consciousness will be put into people, and conversely, a human consciousness will be put into an alien body, but still under remote control, and there'll be a lot of an alien consciousness overlay, and they'll be sent off into scenarios, into places, installations where they'll mix with other alien races, but they're supposed to outwardly appear as an alien to all these other aliens, but really there's an element of the human Mylab consciousness in there somewhere. So it runs the gamut as far as what they do with consciousness and awareness, and it just shows the level. The term mind control, because we know how the brutish, trauma-based mind control that the so-called elite are into here on the planet Earth, the advanced nature of the kind of consciousness transference, mind control, if for lack of a better term, of these aliens far exceeds that. And people have to be able to come to grips with that. Their ability to literally take over minds, behaviors, emotions of people needs to be factored into this. Any of your thoughts on that or anything else?
No, I'm really glad you mentioned that because there are so many times. So when I really started dialing this whole thing in and really just started paying attention to what was happening to me, there were so many times when I mean, I can't say beyond a shadow of a doubt, but there were so many times when I just knew my physical body had not gone anywhere, yet my consciousness had been transferred. And sometimes I have been transferred into a body that is very similar to mine, but just younger and kind of just a more perfect version almost, but with very, very thin, thin, thin hair. You can see my hair, James, how crazy it is. There was one time they actually showed me myself in a mirror. That's happened to me twice now. Like they wanted me to know that I was not in my own physical body anymore. And I looked and I just thought, okay, well, that's certainly not me. And I could tell, especially because of the hair and the features were just more refined, I suppose. I've been transferred into bodies that were not mine at all. And I have looked out of the eyes of an alien, for lack of a better term. So when I was trying to figure out all this stuff, so this is before I really knew anything, and I'm just trying to figure it out for myself before I had met you or anybody else saying, oh yeah, they can take your consciousness out of your body. It was just me, myself, and I figuring it out, saying, they are taking my consciousness out of my body. I had never even heard of this before. I had no idea they had these abilities. Like you said, it's not just the so-called aliens who can do it, it's the Mylabs too. And so that they have this ability. It's mind-blowing to most people. They can't wrap their minds around it. Whenever I speak on it, people just think that you're crazy or you must be schizophrenic or, oh, it must be a dream or all that kind of stuff. But I have had entirely too many experiences to not have come away with some knowledge as to what they're doing. They've just done it too many times for me to not figure it out. And then to meet people like you who are saying the exact same thing. And you actually, again, this is going to be another topic. You have more knowledge than I do. I can just tell you what they've done to me and what I know they've done to me. And so to think, okay, my physical body has not gone anywhere yet. I went to A and did B and C all night long. And then a lot of times when my consciousness is placed back into my physical body, I can actually feel the vibrations and it can be similar, but it's a more unnatural thing. If anyone has been out of body, you can feel the vibrations that can be a prelude to going out of body, and sometimes you get some audio sounds or whatever to the astral travel or to even just popping out of your body and being in the etheric realm. You can feel these vibrations and stuff like this. But this is a straight technology, and I can feel the technology. They get in right here through the back of my head, and I know this makes me sound like I should be locked up in the funny farm, but the technology, I can feel the electricity or the, whatever it is they're using, but it feels like electricity. Goes in right through the back of my head. I can feel the electricity, and then the body vibrates, and then boom, consciousness is out of the body and somewhere else. And it's just straight technology. There's nothing magical about it. It took me a while to realize so much of what I thought was supernatural, what we think of as, yeah, supernatural or paranormal. It's just straight technology. They have the technology. And guess what? We do too. It's just not out in the public. And so people look at this and think it's just all crazy stuff. And the bottom line is it's tech. And it's just tech that we do not, well, some of us, the mainstream of us, just do not understand. And so that was also interesting for me because I had kind of come to my own conclusions, like this is technology, period. This is not magic. This is not supernatural. Yes, I do believe there's a demonic aspect to this whole chess game that we're involved in. But what they do is technology, and they have the technology to take our consciousness out of our body and to put it into basically anything. Because my consciousness has been locked up into a computer interface. And who knows what my body's doing during that time? I don't know, because kind of hearing from you that they have the ability to then put something else inside the body, which is pretty frightening.
Well, they even have the ability to summon forth, alter personalities, for lack of a better term, while someone's in their astral body as an astral operator. So it's not only, and it makes sense. I mean, if they can summon forth an alter while we're in our physical body, why wouldn't they be able to do that to us when we're disembodied, when we're out of our body in astral operator mode? And it just shows you their ability to manipulate consciousness, manipulate, lack of a better term, our soul. And another thing that is going on also is the linkage between individuals in this remote manipulation. Not only can, and a lot of us have experienced this, not only can they remotely, electromagnetically stimulate people, for lack of a better term, to activate, amp up the arousal mechanism for men and women. But they have a means to link the targeted individual, in our example, with someone else in another remote location who's either undergoing the sex act or conversely being tortured or being subjected to sexual torture, whatever the case may be. But the person in our example feels all of it. They see from the perspective of the participant or participants, they feel the pain, they feel discomfort. Vaginally, rectally, whatever the case may be. And I've experienced this also, how ETs and I think increasingly the deep black military aerospace can do these kinds of things. They can not only conduct surgical or medical procedures on our physical bodies, but they have this means of taking us out of our bodies, for lack of a better term, and in some higher dimension somewhere. They have a means, and it'll appear to you to be, well, you're in some kind of medical theater, surgical theater somewhere, being medically worked over. But you know, at a very deep conscious level, that you're not in your body, that you're somewhere else. They have this means of interfacing with your astral body, for lack of a better term, but it has a direct impact with what's going on in your physical body. There's a direct analog between the things they do, and ETs and deep black military do this now, where they can operate on you, lack of a better term, and it has an impact on your physical body when you return. Very briefly, I've told the story before, I won't go into it, but I found myself once in a little medical clinic. It looked, for all intents and purposes, like a small medical clinic, and there was this alien nurse, for lack of a better term, in a nurse's outfit. She had a crooked black wig on. She had like this nurse's hat on, and other people have described this, so the crooked black wig. And like yourself, I was fussing and fighting on the. I was strapped onto this gurney, but my hands were free, right? My arms, and I was pushing this faux nurse away from me, and I was resisting, and then what it did was is it grabbed me in my gonads and gave me a squeeze, and I yelped, and I became docile, of course, at that point. At which point, it jabbed me right in the bicep with a lack of a better term, a hypodermic needle. And then the being walked away, and I let myself out of the clinic. And this is their ability to create these illusions and screens. So one moment I'm in a very small medical clinic, like we've all seen, and then like a doctor's office. And then next thing you know, I find an exit and I step out, and then I see that I'm standing outside a small rectangular dwelling, and it's on a little knoll, and that dwelling is just surrounded by a grassy field in every direction. It's clearly, it's a screen memory. That's not really where I was at. And I was standing there, I was looking at the puncture wound and feeling the contours of the puncture wound with my index finger. At that moment, one of my colleagues rings me up on the phone, and then I'm laying there in bed. Well, this is interesting because I'm in this other place and I'm standing outside this little building on this big grassy field, and I'm touching this puncture wound with my index finger. And then on the other hand, I'm laying here in bed hearing this phone ring. So my consciousness was essentially split between two realms. So I woke up, quote unquote, answered the phone. It was my friend. Interesting thing was, it felt like there had been an actual injection in that spot. There was no puncture wound, no blood, whatever, but I really felt like I had just gotten an injection there. We all know what an injection feels like. Some of the phlebotomists are so good you don't even feel it. Some of them not so good, and then you feel it. That's what happened. Point of relevance is, it just underscores their ability to work with different aspects of our energy bodies, our physical bodies, what have you. So we have to come to terms with the fact that at times we can be exploited as essentially a proxy force for whoever these controllers are. And I'm not going to glamorize it. I'm not going to call myself a super soldier doing all these superhero type things. At times I have this ring through my nose. I'm being jerked around and being made to do things, or attempted to do things, pardon the bad English, made to do things that I normally wouldn't do. So we have to come to grips with the fact that when we're in these military and or alien programs, we are being exploited. We are being used to advance their agenda. Now, there's another way, the glass half full way, as I like to say, about this. If one is going to infiltrate any kind of program that has everything to do with the ultimate disposition of what we call the human soul, nitty gritty, rubber meets the road stuff, this is what we're talking about now, is where to infiltrate. And if it takes, at some level, in the Bardo state or in previous incarnations, whatever the case may be, saying, okay, I'll subject myself to all this abuse and degradation if it'll get me in and I can start to work my way inside and out of this thing. I know my personality. Yeah, I can do that. The message that I'm imparting to people right now is, it's not all hopelessness, it's not all despair. You've managed, if you look at it in a certain way, you've managed to infiltrate this cosmic mass alien spy operation, and you're in it. And the trick is for us, when the time comes, when we start to have these epiphanies, hopefully by that point, we would have learned enough to, at some level, to some degree, start to break away from them and start to freelance and do our own thing, which I think is a permanent nightmare for a lot of these controllers, alien, military, and otherwise, is of us going off the reservation, doing our own thing. And I will say that at an oversoul level, some people are already doing that. They're taking part in astral ops, in all kinds of operations, oversoul directed, in my view, have no alien or military or even benevolent ET handler control. It's something that we're doing on our own. So keep that point in mind, everybody, that we have it within us. It's within our morphic information field. We already have the knowledge to do this. We just have to remember how and just be ready when the time comes.
I think that's really important because it's really easy to get black-pilled, right? Oh, they can do whatever they want and they have all this power and all this technology and there's nothing we can do to fight them, and it's just simply not true. And what they do, to your point, James, is they select us for our level of consciousness in the first place. But everything they do is a double-edged sword. And so they've taken people with a higher level of consciousness, they've plugged them into these programs, and what's happening is we're checking out and we're realizing what's going on. We're recognizing what they're doing and why, and what the agenda is. And because they're selecting people with a higher consciousness, perhaps we are the ones who are also able to turn it around on them or learn from it or use it for our own good. So everything they do is a double-edged sword, and they can't win the entirety of the game. The game is actually already won. I mean, Looking Glass tells us the game is already won, and they're just making their desperate moves. Perhaps already in checkmate, and there's only a certain number of moves left on the board. But because of their narcissism, they cannot help but try to win anyway. I think that's important. Maybe we'll talk in the next hour about the whole black pill thing because it can happen really easily. It's happened to me a couple
It
times.
will, and we can delve into more of the experiences. I can share more of the things as well that I've undergone in the members segment. We've reached the end of our first segment with Fringe. And Fringe, if people want to contact you and share some of their stories with you, how can they do that?
I have a website at fringethink.com, and then I have a Twitter that is fringe underscore think.
And for our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.